when I grew up here in the Bellefonte Pleasant Gap area. But before that, my family had lived in Montana, and while we were attending church there, I attended a church that had an Awana program that I know your church has as well. And in that Awana program, I remember when I was 5 years old, I remember one evening, we were sitting there in our small group, my little kindergarten class there, and I remember this gentleman, the only identifying characteristic that I can recall of him was that he had no hair. He was bald. And it was really stood out to me as a kid. But I remember listening to him, and as he shared the gospel message, he shared the truth of who Christ was and what he had done for us and the necessity for that in our life because of the sin that we have. It hit me, and it hit me hard. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed Jesus. And I knew that it needed his life-giving forgiveness and salvation in my life. And I was too shy. I was too scared to be able to respond to the invitation that night. But I remember going home, I remember getting into my room, and I remember praying and asking Jesus to forgive me. And thus started my journey. And thus started my journey to where I am today. I am a product of child evangelism, as I know many of us are, as the statistics bear out. Children, any of those who come to faith in Christ, typically do that before the age of 13. And I'm a product of that as well. And it's important to recognize the importance of it, how we can be a part of that ministry and part of that story as well. The verses that we're again, kind of like we talked about, it was kind of actually fortuitous a little bit listening to the sermon today that Pastor gave, because, you know, we talked about your vision statements, and the second one was our purpose of evangelizing the lost. That's exactly what God calls us to do also in regards to reaching the lost generation of children in our community as well. And we're going to jump around and look at a bunch of different verses today. The first verse or passage I want to look at is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. So I'll give you a minute as we get there. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16 says, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." Looking at this passage here, we can get a glimpse of what exactly the spiritual condition of every child is. Verse 15 states, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." When we look at this verse, we recognize that, first off, children are lost, and they're in need of a Savior. For them to receive the kingdom of God, they first must be in that need, the need of a Savior in their life. And we look at children today, and we often think of, oh, just how cute they are, just how awesome they are, or maybe you're not quite a kids person, but you can still recognize just the appeal of what children might be, all right? But 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And when God looks at a child, what does he see? Well, a couple of things. First, Isaiah 64, 4 says, "All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We are all unrighteous." And children are no exception to that. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers." Children are spiritually blind. They have no conception of what their need is. They are spiritually blind to the darkness that is inside of them and the sin that persists. John 8:34 says, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Children are slaves to sin as well. Just like we all are when we do not have the life-giving forgiveness and receive that salvation in our own lives as well. And children are dead in their sin. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you were once walked, or in which you once walked, following the course of this world." We are separated from God as we talk to when we share the gospel message with our kids in Good News Clubs and five-day clubs all throughout the year. We talk, when we get to this part of the Word of Spoke, when we share about the problem of sin in our lives, we talk about how this deadness is represented by being separated from God. In Romans 3:23, it talks about, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And we are separated from God because of the sin in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they were spiritually discerned." Again, speaking to the spiritual blindness that we see in our children today. Our children are lost, and they are in need of a Savior. Recently, at one of our Good News Clubs that has wrapped up for the year, a first girl came back with me during the invitation. And while she was able to understand the story that had been shared, when we started going through and asking if she truly understood it and of the personal need in her own life, when we got to the problem of sin and asking it whether she was a sinner or not, she was adamant that she had done no wrong, that she was not a sinner, and couldn't get past that. Again, that spiritual blindness that you know, we can share as much as we want, we can share as the truth of God's word with a child, but again, it takes that the Holy Spirit speaking to them and convincing them of their need and convicting them of the sin that is in their life as well. I spoke to this actually this morning too when I shared a little bit about CEF and the ministry that we've seen, particularly last year during our 5-day clubs, and just seeing the spiritual darkness in the children that we work with in the schools and out in the community. There is such a lack of biblical literacy amongst the children these days that they have no concept, not only of salvation and the gospel message, but of just the Bible and who God is. There's a complete misunderstanding, or worse, a twisting of the truth, thinking they just need to be good and earn a spot in heaven. And our children are so lost. So the spiritual condition of children today are that they are lost. And the world actively works to twist that and to wrap or chain or grab a hold and trap the minds of our children. Drugs and sex have pervaded our culture. And when we look at the statistics, Pennsylvania ranks 9th in the nation for the most reported cases of human trafficking, with 15% of all those cases involving children. Humanism, violence, abuse, cults, witchcraft, ethics, all these things come to attack and try to ensnare the minds of our children. And we see it constantly in the ministry when we work with children and we see them out in our ministries. They have this warped understanding that, again, that they can achieve their own happiness, or they can achieve their ability to gain justification. The average U.S. child is exposed to more than 1,400 proselytizing messages per day, according to a 2012 study. The world is actively seeking to evangelize and instill in a child a faith that leads to this world's values as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 states, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." If we have not seen that in our culture, society today, I don't know how else to describe it. The world is all today about gaining things that give them the affirmation of how they want to live their lives. And they have turned, again, like this verse states, to teachers that suit their own passions. We talked about, and Nancy shared about, there's multiple researches or multiple studies that have shown that if you do not reach children at an early age with the gospel of Christ, they are so much less likely to be able to turn and make a decision to follow him. One of those studies was done by a Barna Research Group, and they found that 85% of the people who make a decision for Christ do so between the ages of 4 and 14. Another study showed that after middle school, it is shown that there is just a 6% chance of that individual praying and accepting the Lord as their Savior. One of the stories that has really brought home to me that the importance of this is that I worked with an individual before becoming on board with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we worked with through another church in the state college with their community outreach team, and she had gone through a really challenging time in her life where she had really walked away from God, got really wrapped up in a lot of horrible things, and to the point where she had gone to jail for some of the things that she had committed. But God had turned her life, and she had recommitted herself to God in jail. And she was so excited, so excitedly following after God, passionately doing what God had called her to do in her life. And when I gotten on as a local coordinator here with Child Evangelism Fellowship, she came out to one of our banquets. And while there, she happened to notice Nancy, and she was so excited. And she got me to bring Nancy on over. She goes, you're the one. When I was just a little girl, I had gone to the Grange Fair, and you were the one that prayed with me and showed me how I could give my life over to Christ. And because of that decision, because of those verses, that had stuck with her. And even though she had gone astray, later as an adult, God had brought her back to Him. It is so important to imprint and place the truths of God's word into the minds and hearts of our children so they might truly understand and be able to ward off what the world is constantly throwing at our children. You know, the world will actively seek to work and try to grab and entrap the minds of our children, but sadly, another huge area where that those attacks come from is actually the church itself. The church can hinder that our children. Dan Brewster, the head of Compassion International for 26 years, has stated, "Many believe it's important to teach our children good values, but claim that a child is not psychologically mature enough to make an informed decision or believe that one should only evangelize parents, and in turn, parents will evangelize their own children. However, this position is not scriptural. The biblical pattern of evangelism is to proclaim the gospel to everyone. The scripture states, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God.'" Oftentimes, sometimes we can get into this mindset that, well, children, they just can't quite understand. They can't fully grasp the truths that are there in the gospel. And that is so far from the truth. You know, I'm so grateful for that this church embraces the reality of reaching children for Christ and how children of any age, when the Holy Spirit is convicting them and giving them understanding, can make a decision to follow Him. And sadly, though, there are other churches that don't see that. One Good News Club that we were going to have this past year was going to actually close their doors to us because they decided that it was no longer worthwhile giving us access to their facilities, even though we could not meet anywhere else because the schools were not allowing us on in. We've had parents interrupt us in the midst of some of our outreaches, such as at the Grange Fair, telling us that, no, we shouldn't share the message of the gospel with their children because they're not old enough to understand. Again, when we look at Scripture, Jesus was clear, "Let the children, little children, come unto me." He understood that it was important to be able to share with them and tell them about the life-giving truth that can be found in Him. So, our spiritual condition of the children, the way that we approach them, and now we understand that there's a right of every child. Today we hear a lot about children's rights. They have the right to a good education, to health care, to adequate clothing and food. Even this world now is telling them they even have the right to choose their own gender. But the child does not need the child does need those physical protections and helps. But there is one right that the world often ignores, and that is that every child has the right to hear and know that the Lord Jesus Christ can be their own personal Savior. This is the right that you, the church, and we CEF proclaim to the children in our communities as well. God reveals Himself to the children. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it says, "When the disciples had returned to Jesus after having been sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God, He rejoiced and said, 'I thank you, Father of heaven, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" He references the disciples' childlike faith and God's revelation for children with their childlike belief. It was so important to Him to be able to reach the boys and girls, the children, with the life-giving truth. That truth was given to those children that had humble hearts and that childlike faith to receive Him. Nancy talked about it in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. So a passage that exemplifies and just completely encapsulates the goal of this ministry of reaching boys and girls for Christ. It says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea." Strong words, but it exemplifies the passion that Christ had to receiving and sharing with the children the truth of who he was and the message that he brought to them as well. Children can enter the kingdom of God. We look at verse 3, it says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That he's speaking specifically about that childlike faith, that humility, that when we understand and truly acknowledge the sovereignty and the truth of God's message to us, and that he came and died for our sins, and that we could do nothing about it but receive that through grace, like we sang earlier in that song, then within that childlike faith can we truly understand and receive Christ. And in verse 6, it speaks, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin," that specifically speaks that children can believe and be saved. They can truly be able to understand the life-giving message that God has shared with us in his gospel. And they can make a decision to follow Christ and be saved of their sin. This is a huge and important message that God, our calling that God has given us. It's a privilege to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ, to be able to share with them the truth and be able to help them make that life-changing decision and turn to follow him. So that bears the question then, how? How do we help out? How do we get involved? Well, one of the first things that we can do to be able to be part of child evangelism is by being inviting and open in your communication to children. As parents, we have a mission field right in front of us, our children. And it is important to be clear and to be open and to be regularly sharing with them the truth of who God is. Regularly sharing with them the understanding of God's important message to them as well. But not just parents, even those that do not have kids, singles can be a part of this ministry as well. We have an awesome opportunity to be a part of working with children, be it maybe in our churches, in programs such as Awana or in our Sunday schools, or just being involved in the kids in their community or in their families that they have opportunities to interact with as well. Just because we don't have kids of our own self doesn't mean that we miss out on that opportunity to be able to share and be able to give life-giving truth to children. Another way that we can be part of children and child evangelism is by reaching out and becoming partners with parents in need, specifically respite care for foster children. I know this church is a big proponent and is involved in the Orphan Care Alliance, which actually seeks to reach out to foster parents and foster children and to be able to provide them with the resources and opportunities to be able to succeed and find forever homes as well. Other ministries that do this kind of work are such as Big Brother, Big Sister, which are opportunities to be able to become a mentor and become a partner in reaching out and providing just that support that children that are going through really difficult and trying times really need. So by reaching out and becoming partners with ministries and organizations and parents too, we are able to come alongside and be able to be advocates and be able to have opportunities to share the gospel message with children as well. You can also help your church reach the next generation as well. I know this First Baptist has an amazing children's program, as evidenced by the Sunday School and the Awana programs and other outreaches such as The Zone. All these children's ministries need teachers and helpers and listeners to be able to be a part of that. I think sometimes, a lot of times, when I talk with individuals that are first showing interest about wanting to work with Child Evangelism Fellowship are, well, I just don't know if I can stand up and give a 10, 15-minute lesson in front of kids. And that's all right, because not all of us are cut out to be like that. I remember my first experience as a worker within Child Evangelism Fellowship, I was absolutely completely fearful of having to work with kids. Going back to my experience as a summer missionary, when I was a summer missionary, when I was in high school, I felt a calling in my heart to actually live out my faith and to actually to do something for God, but I didn't know what that was. And actually, Don Colbert was the director of CEF at that time, came and spoke to my youth group. And when as he was leaving, he left a bunch of pamphlets out. And I got to grab one of them, just kind of really, not really even really thinking too much about it, but just thinking, you know, I want to do something with the paper. Not necessarily really interested in the ministry of CEF. But later, right as the summer was starting to come on up, I thought, well, I have this paper here. Maybe I should go ahead and reach on out to him. Maybe this is how God wanted me to use it. But I had never really worked with kids before. I was really, for all sakes and purposes, I really didn't like kids. But I reached out to him. He was so excited. I remember he called the house, and my mom, when she found out about this, she was super excited. So that was a done deal. I was working with CEF for the summer. Didn't know how I felt about that, but I was a little fearful. But anywho, I remember going to the training school. I remember being able to learn the lessons, albeit very slowly, and it took a lot of work. Don had a lot of patience with me. But I remember that week, the next week, where we had to go out and actually do a club. And I remember I was incredibly fearful. And I remember getting in the van and starting to drive out into downtown Lancaster and thinking and praying to God, I don't know what I am doing here. I cannot teach kids. What am I doing? But I got out. I remember the Bible lesson that day was I was sharing was the message of where the angel led Peter out of prison. And as I got up, I remember thinking, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to fall flat on my face, but here we go. And I was into it. And I remember it wasn't the cleanest or the most engaging Bible presentation. But God gave me a peace. And I just remember the words started coming. God gave me the words and God gave me the understanding. And out of that, I gave an invitation. I got to lead my very first kid, very first person ever to Christ. And it was amazing. God used a high school guy that had very little ability to teach to be able to share. And while that may not necessarily be exactly how each person's first-time experience might be with CEF, God requires willing hearts, and he equips those he calls. If he has called you to be a part of CEF, part of your Awana ministry, part of Sunday school, lean into that. Maybe it's to be a teacher. Maybe it's just to be a helper. Maybe it's there just to be there. Be there with kids. Kids need role models to look up to. And those role models don't necessarily have to always be the teacher. Sometimes it's that person that's sitting next to them quietly that's helping them take their bathroom trips or go get a drink of water or passes out their snack. All those roles are super important. And I encourage you as you're looking at if you're looking at opportunities to reach and be part of child evangelism, to lean into that and see where God might be using you to be part of children's ministry. I'm going to close tonight with sharing just a little bit here. I have a story I want to share with you as I close here. We're talking about the importance of reaching children for Christ. It says in 1858, Edward Kimball was concerned about one of his young Sunday school students who worked at a shoe store in town. One day, Kimball visited him at the store, found the student working in the back stocking shelves, and led him to Christ then and there. Dwight L. Moody eventually left that shoe store to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of all time. Moody, whose international speaking took him to the British Isles, preached in a little chapel pastored by a young man with the imposing name of Frederick Brotherton Meyer. In his sermon, Moody told an emotionally charged story about a Sunday school teacher who personally went to every student in his class and led each of them to Christ. That message changed Pastor Meyer's ministry, inspiring him to become an evangelist like Moody. Over the years, Meyer came to America. While speaking in Northfield, Massachusetts, a young preacher heard Meyer say, "If you are not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" That remark led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to the call of God on his life. Chapman went on to become one of the most effective evangelists of his time. A volunteer by the name of Billy Sunday helped set up his crusades and learned how to preach by watching Chapman. Sunday eventually took over Chapman's ministry, becoming one of the most dynamic evangelists of this century. Billy Sunday's preaching brought thousands to Christ. Inspired by a 1924 Billy Sunday crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of Christians dedicated themselves to reaching their city for Christ. That group invited the evangelist Mordecai Ham to come and hold a series of evangelistic meetings in 1932. A lanky 16-year-old sat in a huge crowd one evening, spellbound by the message the white-haired preacher gave. Each evening, the preacher seemed to be shouting and waving his finger at the preacher, at the young man. Night after night, the teen came and finally went forward to give his life to Christ. And that teenager was Billy Graham. Billy Graham has communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in history. And it all started with a Sunday school teacher named Kimball. Millions have been affected by his decisions to go into a shoe store and share Christ with just one person. Millions more will continue to feel his impact. Can something like this happen today? Of course. God wants to use you to change the world by investing in the lives of children. I encourage you to make an eternal difference by sharing the gospel with those children around you and supporting others that do. Again, you don't know what that role may look like. It may be as a teacher in a Sunday school program. It may be as a helper in a summer soccer camp. It may be sharing with your own son or daughter. It could be going out into the community in your own neighborhood and hosting a party to be able to invite kids on in and be able to hear the gospel message. It could be any of those things. But if we don't take that initiative and follow that calling, then we're going to miss out on that opportunity. That question that was asked by the young preacher, that was heard by the young preacher, if you are not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing? God simply requires a willing heart. A willing heart to recognize and open our eyes to the hurt and the pain and the darkness around us, that particularly in this younger generation, and say, I want to be used to reach them. I'd encourage you to find where God might be calling you, might be calling you to use you in the ministry of child evangelism. I invite you to pray with me. Father God, I thank you for your calling that you have given to us, God, to reach those around us, particularly, God, this younger generation, God, the children that are around us. God, I am quite confident, God, there are children in the course of each and every one of our lives that you might have give us an opportunity to be able to share with them. God, I pray that, God, you would empower and equip them to do your work, Father God, to be able to share, to be able to pray, Father God, and lift up those children around them. God, we thank you for your calling that you have given us to reach this younger generation, God. And God, how you and your Holy Spirit, God, take our words and our efforts, God, to be able to change the hearts and minds and change the eternal futures of those children as well. God, we thank you so much for what you have done and what you are going to continue to do through CEF and through the children's ministries in this area. I pray you continue to use us, God, to grow your kingdom. I pray this in your name. Amen.